he takes offense at that. Don't you, Bobby? So cute.
Well, one and all, you can turn to page 48 in the hymn book. We will get festivities started. Singing about Jesus. What a no better way to start.
Church.
Samuel Wesley. I don't know which one.
Samuel Stone read it. Usually the author's on the left.
Oh, okay. What's Samuel S. Wesley then?
That's the arranger.
Ah, well, the music is pretty and the lyrics are wonderful. You might have noticed Jenny's not really singing along with us. She's been getting over
some laryngitis type of thing.
Yeah.
And boy, that's fun when I can't talk.
I haven't got it, and that's
what's
strange about it, because I usually get it, you know. So, I might come down to tomorrow, you know.
Oh, boy.
But she hasn't kissed me since Sunday.
Aww. Or hugged him.
Had he hugged me or nothing? Yeah.
I'm not even making his coffee. You know that's not going to make any.
Well, 326, I'll sing lead on this one.
I used gloves on
it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
326.
Another pretty song.
Light in the darkness.
it'd be kind of mean to sing that a cappella and make Jenny just sit there. So she got to take part. Yeah, I try to be once a day. All right, prayer cards. Raise your hand, and Janie's going to bring those around. Onliners, get your request into the email address, bbfohio@totaltownmail.com. And we'll have to wait for the camera crew to make their way down. Actually, I meant to switch that around.
Then everybody.
There's your reminder to silence your cell phone ringer. Now we're doing the sound check. Let's see, you hear that? Do you hear this one too?
Check the other one again.
Yeah. Okay. Camera's all zoomed in and ready. Yeah, we have the folks in from Montana, so praise the Lord for safe travel, and it sounds like they had a good trip. Then we got one going to San Fran, or just one, right? Two then.
Yeah. Two. Aww, Mama.
So we'll pray for a safe trip there and back and safety while they are there.
Well, then we're missing one and a lot of them.
Jenny and I are scheduled to go down to a wedding in Virginia this weekend.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be down and back. We don't have to fly there.
Are you going near
Galax,
Virginia?
No.
We will have time to stop.
I know
exactly
where to go on a trip.
One day you gotta go see Monk Mark.
Every time they say it on the radio news.
All right, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. And I have just been dealing with for about a week. How long has it been?
2 weeks.
Almost 2 weeks. And it's worse sometimes than others with joints and such. Just pain. And I just don't like pain. And after a while, I know some of you know what I'm talking about. It just wears you out. I'm not complaining, but I appreciate prayer. Praying for one another and all our aches and pains. And that's why we open up to our onliners to send in prayer requests, because we appreciate prayer. We know others appreciate our prayers. It's an opportunity for a ministry of intercessory prayer. So we'll get into our study tonight, 1 Timothy 1, verse 4. After our current events update, we ask you not to talk over the speaker or video clips. Hold your questions and comments to the end of current events update. We always begin since October. We've been beginning with Israel at war. Today's day 6/26/24. Day 263, by my count. Still 120 hostages, 50 plus believed to be deceased. No real changes over the last few days as far as the hostages are concerned. And the Jew haters continue to fail to call for their release. It's just an amazing thing, you know, that those of us who support Israel, if it were somehow on the other foot, we would be calling for the hostages, the innocent civilians, to be released. And the other side of this, the leftists and all the people who hate the Jews, they just care less about those hostages. And Gallant, came to America, the United States, and met with the Biden administration in Washington, D.C., and he said that the meetings yielded progress on the arms holdup. Netanyahu has been saying that they've been holding up the arms that they agreed to send. Biden has said that that's not true. Then Gallant comes over here, and basically Biden and his administration admits it is true. But that doesn't matter. Netanyahu is still the bad guy. That's your news media. And there is a continual left-right strife in Israel, just like here in the United States. Gantz is another character in this. He's a leftist. He accused Netanyahu of harming ties with the U.S. I mean, it's a time of war. You just think they've dropped the politics. But he wants to be prime minister. So that's what that's all about. He's in what's called the National Unity Party. And that sound familiar? The leftists are always saying they want to unify the country. Biden gets up there and says, I want to unify the country. Meanwhile, I'm going to demonize half the country.
Yeah.
Well, he's in that party, Benny Gantz. He threw his support behind Defense Minister Yoav Gallant's critique of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, arguing that the latter is, quote, harming the strategic relationship with the United States. He was right. Something's being done about it because he complained, but somehow that's wrong. And the headline was, the defense minister trades jabs with not Netanyahu over whether SPAC should have gone public. Yeah, that's the only reason they're getting anything done is because he went public. So, and we continue in the meantime to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee, Psalm 122:6.
Amen.
That's what the map still looks like in that region. And we will continue to stand with Israel. Number two, illegals kill. Not all illegals. See how that works? Donald Trump, back in 2015, I think, when he first said that they're sending over their killers and their drug pushers and the drug addicts and the rapists and everything. He didn't say that all Mexicans are those things. But that's how your lying fake news media reported. And it's a fact that our crime rates and murder rates are going up because of the illegals coming in. Not all of them are killers. Not all of them are rapists and so forth. We have enough problems in this country. We don't need to import more killers, more rapists, more drug pushers. That's the point. And President Joe Biden and his army of Marxist devils do not care. And I'm going to play this little clip about it.
Police have tracked down a killer whose crime spanned the country. The man accused of killing a Maryland mother of five on a popular hiking trail has been captured in Oklahoma. Rachel Marin was dragged from a hiking trail in Maryland where she was raped and murdered. Hernandez allegedly had ties to the notorious MS-13 gang and entered the country illegally in February of last year.
The sheriff says that he fled to the U.S. illegally after murdering a woman in El Salvador in January of 2023. Just 1 month before he entered the U.S. last year, Interpol issued an arrest warrant for Hernandez.
We are 1,800 miles away from the southern border, and the American citizens are not safe because of failed immigration policies. This is the second time in just 2 years that an innocent Harper County woman has lost her life to a criminal in our country illegally.
As far as I'm concerned, the Biden administration has the blood of Rachel Warren in their hands.
Two officers were shot overnight. The suspect also shot in the exchange of gunfire.
Police also say that suspect Bernardo Raul Castro Mata currently resides at a migrant shelter not too far away from here.
Christian Engel was arraigned today in New York City on charges of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl after school last week in a shocking daylight attack. Police say the 25-year-old migrant from Ecuador approached two teens in the park at knife point. According to the criminal complaint, the suspect tied the boy and girl to one another, gagged them, then raped the girl before fleeing the scene. Police say Inga entered the U.S. illegally through Eagle Pass, Texas, back in 2021.
We've also learned from law enforcement here in New York that Christian Ingalandi was actually ordered to go back to Ecuador just a year later in 2022. Had he been deported, we may not have this case. It has really struck a chord with people here in New York City, even people around the country.
The Venezuelan gang known as Tren de Aragua has victimized thousands through extortion, drug and human trafficking, kidnapping and murder. And now U.S. law enforcement, including Customs and Border Protection and the FBI, say the gang has made their way into the country.
U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens, who has confirmed multiple arrests of alleged Tren de Aragua members over the last year, issued a warning in early April after reporting yet another arrest. Watch out for this gang, he said. It is the most powerful in Venezuela, known for murder, drug trafficking, sex crimes, extortion, and other violent acts.
Today, an illegal immigrant who killed someone in Troy is set to be sentenced. Carlos Corrales Ramirez pleaded guilty to the deadly stabbing last month. He admitted to killing a man near River and Dow Streets last September. The Honduras native was also charged with a stabbing in Maryland last February. He was arrested for that crime, but was later released because Maryland officials never extradited him.
Eight individuals, all from the Central Asian country of Tajikistan, were arrested in Los Angeles, New York, and Philadelphia. They entered the United States this year and in 2023, crossing the Mexican border. They were vetted and allowed to remain in the country. CBS News has learned further investigation uncovered the men had possible ties to ISIS-K.
Five men in the U.S. illegally were arrested Monday morning in Northeast Missouri after a teenage girl was reported missing in Indiana. The suspects are accused of kidnapping the 14-year-old from her home. They were tracked down in Macon County. All five of these men are charged with second-degree kidnapping and first-degree endangering the welfare of a child.
Developments in the brutal abduction and murder of a 12-year-old Texas girl whose body was found dumped in a bayou. Police arrested 21-year-old Johan Jose Rangel Martinez and 26-year-old Franklin Jose Cunha Ramos, both illegal migrants from Venezuela. Surveillance video appeared to show both men with the girl just hours before she was found dead. Both men have been charged with capital murder, critics blaming Jocelyn's death on President Biden's border policies.
You think? Some ugly stuff, and I know you don't really care to watch it, but imagine if you were one of those families.
Yeah.
And the time for keeping everything nice and pretty is over. People need to understand what they're doing to this country, what they're doing to the people in this country, the children, these girls. I mean, just mostly girls. Still, there's some young men getting caught up with it as well. And by the way, the end of that showed a Trump campaign thing. I'm not endorsing Donald Trump because I don't have to endorse Donald Trump. If you got any brains, you know not to vote for Joe Biden. And you'd vote for somebody else, fine. But RFK is all for killing the babies and climate change and all that nonsense. But these are just pictures. All those people are dead. One of my stupid daughters said to me right before they stopped talking to me, your chances of being murdered are still higher with American citizens than it would be from an illegal. You're more likely to be murdered by an American than an illegal. Think how stupid that is.
Amen.
So what? You want to increase the murder rate?
Yeah.
As long as I'm still more likely to be killed by an American, it's okay?
Yeah.
Folks, that is not intellectual. That is spiritual.
Amen.
That's talking about your children, your nieces and nephews, your parents, your aunts and uncles, your neighbors, your fellow Christians, if they say something that's stupid, there's something wrong with their soul.
Amen.
And there's something wrong with most of the professing Christians of this country, I'm here to tell you. Number three, just various facts and short clips. The globalist elite continue poisoning the masses.
PSA for anyone going to the grocery store. Yes, even natural health food stores. Next time you're in the produce aisle, please be on the lookout for this label. And whatever you do, do not go near it. Appeal, or Edappeal, is a World Economic Forum and Bill Gates-funded product that is being sprayed on fruits and vegetables, which are on the verge of spoiling, so that they appear fresh and last longer. Even more frightening is the fact that Appeal has been approved for use on USDA organic produce under the name Organappeal. The main ingredient found in the Appeal coating is mono- and diglycerides, which are extracted from grapeseed oil. This is then processed with the use of two solvents, which are ethyl acetate and heptane, both of which are hazardous chemicals known to seriously damage internal organs in the case of repeated exposure. This coating cannot be washed off. Additionally, the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer, or IARC, recognized glycidol, another name for these same ingredients, as, quote, probably carcinogenic to humans. So why are they spraying this literal poison on our food? Well, ironically, the Appeal coating is generally recognized as safe, meaning the safety review was completed by the food and chemical industry as opposed to the FDA, not that they're at all better. And while the approval process for these toxic solvents are rather unclear, one thing is for certain. Appeal should be kept far, far away from our food supply. The ability of this $2 billion Bill Gates-backed startup to just quietly slip in to extend the life of food with absolutely zero proof of preserving any nutritional value should remind every American of the importance of eating organic, local, and chemical-free food. But if the evidence here isn't enough to convince you, take a look at what Appeal allegedly does to the food itself.
When she opens it and she breaks it in half, it gets very tough and doesn't really break. And if, when it pulls, it's like it's glue.
Wait.
Avocado.
It's not even breaking, like at all. Like it. And I know you guys can't feel the texture, obvi, right, because it's a video, but, like, it literally feels fake.
Is it clear yet? The tyrannical globalists will stop at nothing to completely railroad anyone trying to live a wholesome, healthy life. They'll do anything to try and kill off the resistors who refuse to align with their dystopian, dismal future, where you'll be forced to eat bugs and own nothing and be happy. It's time to start growing your own food or buying food from your local farmer's market if you don't already. These megalomaniacs are on a mission to destroy all that is good in this life, and we absolutely cannot let them win.
The only thing I disagree with her on is they're not just trying to kill conservatives. That's who she's talking about. They don't care. They want to kill. That's what the liberals are too stupid to understand, that the elites want them dead too.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes back to the communist era. When the communists took over, the first thing they did is come in there and kill the liberals, who were their best friends before they took over. And then there's this.
Do you guys know what the most toxic thing in your home environment? All right, I'll tell you what it is. It's fragrance. Did you know that? Isn't that crazy? So anything that smells like apple summer rain or fresh flowers from the garden or lavender mist, those are all made with toxic chemicals. And what a lot of these companies do is they disclose certain ingredients that are pretty neutral, but then they hide all these toxic chemicals under the fragrance. And it's called, you know, their own original IP. It's like their secret sauce, so they don't have to disclose it. So we then are putting it on our skin, we're inhaling it, and they're known carcinogens. I mean, they are hormonal disruptors.
If it's a carcinogen, it causes cancer. The fragrances have styrene, they have beta-mercene, phthalates, aldehydes, parabens, all cause cancers, asthma and allergy. People die of allergies and asthma, not realizing it's the fragrances. It's not just flowers that cause you problems. Petroleum-based fragrance accelerants are the ones that really make me sick. I can't smell it. A lot of these fragrances, I don't even smell the fragrance, but it smells like something's burning. And then I get a headache starting up here. I get nauseated, and then if I don't get out in a way, I get sick. And that's mostly your perfumes and colognes and other things like plug-ins and all that. It has mineral spirits, naphtha, kerosene, and a thing called benzene, which they started to use less, but it's still found in a lot of products. So they're trying to kill you. And this is the spirit that you'll see behind these people who are doing this. This sweet little old reprobate who's going to serve Satan right up until she takes her last dying putrid breath. And I'm telling you, probably 60 to 70% of our elderly population is right here on your screen right here.
So here's the thing now in Arkansas, and much of the South, I'm afraid, and probably every red state in the country. If you are anything other than a white, straight man, your life is in danger. Your rights are already being taken away. Wake up, people. Vote, for crying out loud. Register. Vote. Follow what's going on. Pay attention. I don't have much longer to live in this world, so a lot of you do. For crying out loud, protect yourself, protect your children, get involved, register, vote, let your voice be heard. I'd like to, if I could reach through this and grab you by the throat and tell you how important this is. And quite frankly, I marched for all this back in the 60s, and now I have to do it again? What the is wrong with you?
Did the devil start to come out there at the end? Folks, that's what you're dealing with. That's what you're dealing with. That's who these people are. And she's upset about setbacks to abortion, which is a fancy name for murdering unborn children. She's upset about the setbacks to sodomite rights, which is a they call it gay rights, LGBTQ rights, which is a cover for chemical castrations and bodily mutilation of children. It's also representing drag exposure and grooming of children. They're upset because of setbacks for gun control, which means confiscation of your guns. They're upset about setbacks to their global warming and climate change agenda, which is a cover for carbon taxes and other Marxist control of the economy. That's all that is. And that's what they're upset about. So, sweet little lady, I'm telling you, that's what senior citizens in the United States of America, that's why so many of them belong to AARP. And no matter how wicked AARP is, those people stay with that organization. And then you got the, what's it called, AMAC that it came out with Chuck Woolery, as the spokesperson, telling you we won't support abortion, we won't support this wicked stuff, and they only have like 2.2 million members.
Did you just join that?
I just joined that. Oh. It's for 50 and over. AMAC. I ought to get some pamphlets, have them send them to me, I can put them out for everybody. So that, be informed, pray and act accordingly, and we'll take some comments and questions. We'll start with Bob right there.
I have a question regarding bilge preservation product. Is that known to be used in our locality?
Well, that's what they said. It's more and more you're going to see it. I don't know.
Will they all be wet?
I don't know if Jenny's seen it. I don't do a lot of grocery shopping.
I didn't know.
But it's being used all over the country already. Yeah.
Will they all be labeled with that?
Supposed to be. But, they get faint. This is like high fructose corn syrup. They started just calling it corn syrup. And they get by with it. So people would think, oh, it's corn syrup. It's not high fructose corn syrup. They always do that. They play those games. Nancy.
The other one is natural flavorings on the label is MSG.
Yeah.
And glyphosate is in the Roundup that you spray for weeds.
Yeah.
It's a known, it was like Agent Orange in Vietnam. That's what they
use
glyphosate for.
Now, and you know, there's farmers that will swear by that because of the, you know, the way it helps them with the crops, but I'm telling you, we have a well, and we don't drink that water.
No.
And we use the Keurig and the bottled water because, you know, all that goes down into the water. You know? But, you know, this world is not our home, amen? But in the meantime, you know, I don't want to grow another eyeball up here and, or die of some long, painful cancer or something like that. So that's why we tell you these things. But it's also to show you how wicked this world is.
Mm-hmm.
How badly we need Jesus, not just to save us as individuals, but to save us from the wicked. And that's what His second coming is all about. He's going to rapture the church out of here. And that tribulation, the second coming, is all about Him destroying the wicked.
Amen.
That's that lovely Jesus that everybody once thinks is a hippie and, you know, doesn't ever judge anybody and all that kind of thing. He's going to come back, He's going to judge, and He's going to inflict His wrath upon a wicked world.
Amen.
And then for 1,000 years, we'll see how it's really done. Amen?
Amen.
All right. With that, let's get into our Bible study of the Word of Prayer. And, yes?
You know, as, never mind, I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's open with prayer and have Brother Jim, if you would. Of course.
Lord Father, we thank you for what the pastors prepared for us tonight. Thank you for everyone present, Lord, and anyone still coming. Just thank you, Lord, for traveling mercies. And Lord, we could be disheartened by all the current events, but our hope is in you, Lord.
Amen.
And that's not going to change, and we just need to stand on your word and stand on the faith you put in us, Lord, in these dark things. Lord, we're just so grateful. We want more of you, more of your Holy Spirit in us, Lord. And less of the world. We just pray to open our hearts and minds to receive now. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
A visitor, Jim and Kenny.
Yes. I don't always call them visitors to pray. All right. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 4, fables and endless genealogies. We're going to continue our study of 1 Timothy 1 with a close look at Paul's admonition, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. And we're going to read, I want to read off the verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to zero in on verse 4. So I'll have you read the even with me. So I'll start with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to look closely there. Verse 4, we're going to see what he means there by fables and endless genealogies that minister questions. And what's he mean by godly edifying? So, Paul sent Timothy to Ephesus, and he left him there, and he left him to stand as pastor, and that's what I'm doing to the best of my ability. And I appreciate those of you who appreciate that, because it's not the way to win friends and influence people. And a lot of people think I'm a nut and think you're nuts for being here. They call us a cult and so forth. And I stand here over and over and tell you, just tell them to get in a time machine and go back to 1960 or previous. I mean, they could probably see most of this in the 70s and 80s and 90s as well. But if they go back to about 1960, All the churches in town were cults, just like us.
Amen.
What's that tell you?
Amen.
This is Christianity. This is what it has been, at least as far as anyone on record remembers, going back to the Reformation. And so what we're dealing with today is no different than what Paul was dealing with back then. And he's telling Timothy to stand because they're teaching all this nonsense doctrine. I don't have time. Over a period of a year, we could come on Wednesday nights and I could go over all the false doctrines being taught in evangelical churches alone. I could spend the entire year every Wednesday and still not cover it all.
Amen.
Kid you not. And that's why he's telling Timothy in verse 4, neither give heed to fables. And he's telling Timothy to tell this to others. Of course, he takes for granted that Timothy is not going to give heed to fables. And I'm glad he felt that way about Timothy. But I'm here to tell you that most of the men who have told me they were called to preach fell into fables.
Yeah.
Most of the men who told me they were called to preach, I spent time helping them, counseling them, trying to guide them. And I've listened to preachers, some of them very well-known preachers, by the way, who also gave the same testimony, men that were ministering from 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, into the 2000s, and so much time they spent just basically mentoring. And those men ended up going off the deep end. One preacher, is down in I don't have to tell you details. I'll just tell you this. I was out on the street with some fellas, and this guy comes pulling up in a Mary Kay pink Cadillac, and he wants to talk to me. So I think, well, he's wanting to talk about the Lord or something. Turned out he used to be a part of the group that I was with, the local church that I was ministering with at the time. And he was one of their bright bulbs they thought was really going to do something. Next thing you know, he was off into the charismatic thing. And then his wife got into the Mary Kay thing, and they, you know, so they drove their pink Cadillac. And it was just a strange conversation. Then he left, and one of the fellas came up and said, what did he have to say? You know, I said, well, he was telling me he used to be a part of this, and he misses it. Huh, that's interesting. And then he told me his story. And, you know, I'd only been a Christian for a short time when that happened. I thought, wow, how sad is that? This guy had an opportunity to be a part of a real good, fundamental, evangelical, you know, evangelistic, Bible-believing church ministry, and probably would have been the next pastor, or they put him, you know, put him up in a church somewhere where he could pastor. And he blew it. I thought, how shameful. Well, since then, I found out that's not the exception. Actually, the exception is that a man says he's called to preach and he stays the course. And I believe the same thing would come out of Paul's mouth if he were standing here right now. He would tell you about all the people that he put time and effort into off the deep end. Same thing's true of the general population of the local churches. And people won't listen. And they'll listen to garbage. They'll read garbage. They won't be in the book the way they are counseled to be. They don't pray the way they ought to pray. What do you expect to happen? And it's happening more and more as we go into these dark days, Jim mentioned. And pastors are standing there saying, stop! There's a cliff! You're about to go off the cliff! And what do? They give heed to fables. Fables are fictional, and there's really nothing wrong with a good fable. Unless or until it's presented as true. That then makes it a lie.
Amen.
See? I mean, Jesus used what we could call fables in a general sense. He told stories that were not based in real life. The parables he told, that's a sense, sort of a, it's a type of a fable. But he said there was a man who once did this. And everyone understood he wasn't talking about the guy living down the street. And I had somebody get really mad at me for saying that one time. And then I sat down and gave him some examples. And, well, I know it looks that way. Rogers don't believe Jesus would do that. Well, I don't care what you believe. It doesn't matter. Amen? I mean, it doesn't matter. But what makes it a lie is when you present a fable as though it's true. Just like Santa Claus. I kind of like the guy. I like Santa Claus. I like to imitate him. Some people say if I had a white beard, I'd look like him. And it's getting there. Jim, you get a belly like this, man. Yeah. Get you a red suit, stand you out in front. And, you know, what's the problem with Santa Claus? The problem is that people try to make it look like to these kids that he's a real thing. And then they convince the kids, and then the kids grow up and they realize they've been lied to. And I want to tell you, that's kind of a crisis for a lot of kids. When they realize they've been lied to for 10 years. In my case, I was 15 when I finally stopped believing in Santa Claus.
Oh, wow.
But whatever age you were, I was kidding. She's like, what? But, you know, whatever age it is. Now, some kids just say, oh, I didn't know anything. You know, but I know some people really got blown over by that when they realized their parents had lied to them all those years. Well, see, in my house, we kind of had the Santa Claus thing as a thing, but not really a thing. Because the kids, it was kind of like Bugs Bunny and, you know, Garfield. Name your character that, you know, we watched these cartoons and things. We loved them. Roadrunner, and all those characters. None of my kids were told that they were real, though. And then grew up to realize Dad lied to him all those years. That's what's wrong with the fable. Look over at 2 Peter 1. I want to show you this. 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is just a contrast I want to show you. We read this in the last week or two, I think. But I want to go back here again. Such a great passage. Jenny and I have put the last couple of verses there to memory. I guess 19 through 21 is what we've memorized. Beginning verse 16, what does it say? I'm pointing this out. The reason I didn't just start at verse 19 is because the context, he starts with the idea of fables. But he says, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised, what?
Fables.
When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Do you know that a lot of the liberal churches, what the pastors will tell you, is Jesus probably existed, but he probably didn't die the way it says in the Bible. He definitely didn't rise again bodily. But that's not important. What's important is we learn lessons from the story. I'm not kidding you. That's what a lot of the liberal churches are teaching. And I listened to years ago, Walter Martin debating this Duke University professor about the resurrection. And his whole case was, probably didn't even happen, but it doesn't matter. And Walter Martin's like, you've got to be kidding me. Paul kind of tackles that whole thing in 1 Corinthians 15, says, if he's not risen, we of all men are most miserable.
That's right.
Amen.
That's why most liberals, you know, they put on a smile, but they're inside, they're miserable. They don't have any hope. They are following the fables. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. Who? Jesus. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What's that talking about?
The baptism and the definitely.
The transfiguration.
Transfiguration.
Yeah. He spoke at the baptism. But this is in verse 18, he says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard. Peter was at the Mount of Transfiguration.
Okay.
But that was a good guess. I just want to point that out.
Thank you.
I wanted to guess. That was a good answer. But in this particular case, it's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. And he also said, when we heard, we're with him in the what?
Holy Mount.
So it's the Mount of Transfiguration. Then what's to say? He's talking about something he saw with his eyes, heard with his ears in the presence of Jesus. And by the way, Moses and Elijah were there. And then what's he say about that? That goes kind of off to the side. Look what it says in verse 19. Read that. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our times. He's saying, even though I was there on the holy mountain, heard the voices, saw Jesus transfigured, Moses and Elijah there, your Bible is even better.
Amen.
That's what he said.
Amen.
Your Bible trumps any dream, any vision you or someone you know has had.
Amen.
Verse 20 and 21, read that with me. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What you have in your hands right now is what he's talking about. They spoke, they were moved to the Holy Ghost, and it's put down in writing. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I don't take even my own eyes and my own ears, things I see and hear, above God's word.
Amen.
So then what do you think we should do with fables that contradict the Bible? I mean, all fables, you know that's a fable, obviously it doesn't compare to the Bible. But the fables that are presented as though they're truth, they go against this book. Out.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're told to put the written word above personal experience or testimonies that other, oh, but I saw this. And they'll say, I went to heaven and I saw a bunch of kids up there and they were having so much fun playing on the swing sets in heaven and everything. I'm like, that's hogwash. Kids die, they don't remain kids in heaven any more than my 97-year-old grandmother is 97 years old in heaven.
Right.
Doesn't matter what age you die at, when you go to heaven, you are now as he is. He died in his 30s in his prime and is glorified over and above that.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to go to heaven and see their blue-haired granny, you're in for a surprise. She's going to have hair white like wool. She's going to be just like Jesus. He doesn't look like Eddie Rabbit or Kenny Loggins anymore, folks. According to the book of Revelation, he has hair white like wool, feet like brass, and according to your Bible, when you die, you will be as he is. Fable. In Western dictionaries, feigned, invented as stories. All right? That's not supposed to even be considered a true story. It's to be presented as, okay, this is a fable. Shakespeare. He didn't present it as history. Those weren't documentaries. So here's some fables outside of the church. The Book of Mormon is a fable.
Amen.
Joseph Smith claimed to have a vision, a heavenly vision, and an angel named Moron, or Moroni, supposed to have given him this book. Before that, he claimed he looked in a hat and had these plates and came up. He did the same thing before that in order to rip people off. He was arrested for it and actually charged and went to jail. It's on record in New York. It's just a big baloney story. And they claim that it happened in upstate New York and other places around North and Central and South America. There's never been any legitimate archaeological evidence to support it. Unlike your Bible.
Amen.
Thousands upon thousands of things have been found, not, let alone all the cities and the peoples and the histories that we know outside of the Bible to back up what the Bible says. Then there's this guy, L. Ron Hubbard.
Yep.
He was a fiction writer who was quoted as saying, if a man wants to get rich, he has to start his own religion. He was about to go bankrupt and decided, hey, I'll take my own advice. And he started his own religion. And he wrote Dianetics. It's all Scientology. It's got this fabulous story about a invasion from an alien species coming to this earth and all this stuff. And you, if you have bad thoughts and bad energy, it's because of the Theans or whatever they're called that's inside you. And so you have to pay all these thousands of dollars to then have these things. It's like an exorcism or something, but you hold on to these panels and they do these tests and all this. You pay tens of thousands of dollars for each step that you go up and you never reach the top.
It's Ponzi.
Ponzi, yeah. Based on a fictional book, Fables. The whole Hindu religion is based on what's called the Bhagavad Gita, and it is all a bunch of trite. A lot of it has to do with visions and things seen while on psychedelics and other mind-altering drugs. And by the way, I think the same thing's true about the Quran. But I know it's fables. I mean, there's all kinds, you get a list of all the nonsense that he put in this book, and some of it he took. He was illiterate. Muhammad couldn't even read. But he would hear these stories, and then he put it in his Quran. And he heard people talk about things that were in the Gospel of Thomas and other apocryphal works. And it got into his... But then he got the stories mixed up and a lot of facts and things mixed up. And he has Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the sister of Moses, and all kinds of crazy stuff like that in there. So those are all examples of the fables. Now, during Paul's time, there were fables like the Gnostics and Gnosticism. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, especially 1st John, deal with a lot of the Gnostic heresies. There were all kinds of fables like that in Paul's day. Of course, all the fables, another word for fables are mythologies.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of? Greek and Roman mythologies.
Amen.
And that's why... Paul and Barnabas do a miracle and they're ready to do sacrifices to them as, was it Mercury and Zeus?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Mercurius, but it's Mercury.
Yeah.
We just studied a few weeks.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago in Acts.
Yeah, Zeus, Apollos,
or... But then there's these fables now that we're dealing with creeping inside the church. There's one. That's how the dinosaurs really went extinct, by the way. The asteroid hit the Earth, the flat Earth, and it flipped them out into space.
I like it.
You know, we have spaceships and rockets and satellites, and they take pictures of the Earth, and they show what's up there. But you know what's more trustworthy than any of that is YouTube. If it's on YouTube, it's got to be true, people. That's why most people who now claim to be flat Earth, and it's a big thing in certain places. And a lot of these NBA players and actors and people have come out and said they believe it. Why? Because they watch a bunch of YouTube videos. Here's another fable called the Mandela Effect. Now, originally, the Mandela Effect was a phenomenon in which a large mass of people believe an event occurred when it did not. And a lady named, I think Fiona Broom is her name, she and a bunch of other people thought that Nelson Mandela died in the late 80s. And they all thought that they had seen the funeral and stuff on TV and the news and everything. He didn't die until 2013. And so that's how it got the name Mandela Effect, because then she started studying this, and you find examples where large numbers of people have a false memory. They all realize they were wrong, and the actual truth is this. And that's, well, what happened was then YouTubers got a hold of it, and they started saying that just something has happened that actually changed history. It's not a false memory a bunch of people are having. History's been changed. And by the way, they are out there claiming your Bible's been changed. And we looked at it, where the Bible says the wolf will lie with the lamb. And because everybody heard the quotation over and over that it was the lion and the lamb, they claim the Bible's been changed. No, it was a false memory. It never said lion and lamb.
Amen.
But it was falsely quoted all the time. Here's one. Pride. good before a fall.
Yeah.
That's wrong. You hear that quoted all the time. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit goeth before a fall.
Amen.
I got an email just today from Kirk Cameron misquoting that. And it probably wasn't Kirk, it was whoever wrote the email for him. But, and that, you know, it's just a common thing. Well, they've changed the Bible because all my life it's been pride goeth before a fall. Yeah. No, it's pride goeth before destruction. And so forth. Here's some other past examples. How do you remember the prayer of Jabez? That's a fable. Wait a minute. It's in the Bible. And it was a great prayer for Jabez.
Yeah.
No time in the Bible are you told to pray that prayer.
Amen.
And then you're definitely not told to repeat that prayer every day, every day, every day, when Jesus said not to do that.
Amen.
Think of that. For years, people were buying these books. I bought a couple of them. I thought, you know, this is like everybody I knew, evangelical, they all believed it. All my friends in church and everything. So I bought them as gifts, gave them to a couple people as gifts. And then later, when I actually looked at it, I'm like, that don't make any sense. And then I started hearing other apologists and teachers saying, folks, this is just a big fad.
Amen.
It was a fable. Any truth misplaced becomes a fable. How do you remember Y2K?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've told you stories of people that packed up, sold everything, went up into the hills. Who knows what happened? Y2K didn't happen, but they never came back out of the hills. How many of you remember the Harbinger?
Yeah.
By the way, the years were 2000. That was 2011. Here we are 13 years later. No one's talking about the Harbinger. Why'd they stop talking about it? Because it was a big dud.
Yeah.
Blood moons?
Yeah.
Remember the blood moons?
Yeah.
2014. Here we are 10 years later. And one last one. How many remember J Helm 15? That is a truth misplaced. It was a military exercise, but a bunch of these YouTubers and Facebookers and people on social media blew it into this conspiracy theory and had everybody thinking that it was going to be the end of the United States of America. We were going to go into martial law. They were going to turn all the Walmarts into concentration camps and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, you missed the most important one, the end of the world, 2012, Mayan calendar.
Yeah, there's another one. And then you have the Harold Camping, two or three of his shots at it as well. But, well, we can safely say that every prediction of the rapture up to this date has been a fable. But what they do, when you talk about it, they'll use the feasts that belong to Israel to predict the rapture with. And you'll hear it almost every September and October because of the Feast of Tabernacles. And then we have fables about our Bible. The oldest manuscripts are the best. It's in all the new versions,
yep,
in your footnotes, and it's a total lie. It's a fable.
Amen.
What does the age of the manuscript have to do with it? When a manuscript was corrupted in the 4th century, after Paul warned us in the 1st century that they were corrupting the Word of God.
Yep.
So if it's a corrupt manuscript, I'd rather have one from the 7th century that's not corrupt.
Amen.
And how do we know that? Well, you can compare them with the papyrus manuscripts that are found. They're not whole manuscripts. They're small sections. But when you compare those to our received text that the King James comes from, you can see that those older manuscripts are corrupted.
Yep.
The one that most new versions are based on is a Vaticanus manuscript. Everything from Hebrews on is gone. And then huge portions of the rest of the New Testament, they had to use Sinaiticus or Alexandrinus. And a lot of times they're so corrupt, they go ahead and go back to the received text and put that in there. Oldest manuscripts are not the best. It's a lie. The Roman Catholic Church gave us the Bible. Not true.
No.
The fact is, Peter was never Pope. The Roman Catholic Church itself, as it exists today, didn't even exist until after Constantine in 325 AD.
Yep.
The Bible existed 300 years before the Roman Catholic Church even existed.
Yeah, they're full of fables.
Yeah, and we've got a book from Chick on that. Did the Catholic Church give us our Bible? It's fable. Of course, There are missing books. They'll call them lost books of the Bible, or they'll say they were rejected. They usually don't say that. What I was getting ready to say is they're not lost, they're rejected. They're not Bible books. The Book of Enoch, it's not a Bible book. And we've done a whole series on these. I think several hours worth of videos that we made refuting the apocryphal books and the other books that are not in your Bible. They're not in there because they don't belong in there.
Amen.
Another fable is what you call dynamic equivalency. You realize that almost all your new versions, the NIV, New Living Translation, all those, they, when they translate from the corrupt text, so it's already corrupt, they don't practice formal equivalency where you want the words of God, don't you? The new versions, they give you the thoughts.
They say they give you.
Well, they say they're attempting to give you the thoughts. Well, even if they're accurate in that, that's not the work of the translator. Amen. That takes interpretation. They're not supposed to be interpreters. They're to be translators. Amen. You want the words of God. That's a translation. Then you interpret it with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Yeah.
And then one last one here. Human copyrights. How does a human being copyright something if it's God's Word? Total fable. And real quick, some false doctrines taught in the church, fables. How about the heavenly language? The Bible says that speaking in tongues is supposed to be one, two, or three at the most in order. There's supposed to be an interpreter or you're to remain silent. So how do they get around that? They invented this thing called the heavenly language, where in church or you go into your so-called prayer closet and you just... And that you can then brag about how long you pray. People do that. So, well, I pray about 10 minutes in English and sometimes I'll go on for an hour in my heavenly language. And they teach that God is giving you a language that you don't understand. No one around you understands it, but He understands it. Focus. There's nothing in that, in the Scripture that teaches that. And then there's the papacy. The idea that a human being is the Holy Father is blasphemy.
Amen.
There's only one Holy Father in the Bible. That's John 17. That's our Heavenly Father. The idea that a man can stand as vicar of Christ, totally fable, invented. It's not in the Bible. The idea that he can sit on a particular chair and speak ex cathedra and be infallible, fable. Man-made nonsense. Another one. Dispensations are a Jesuit invention. The dispensations have been kind of shored up here in the last 400 years. But we have books called Ancient Dispensations and another one, I can't remember the title of it, that show that going back all the way to the earliest years of the church, people recognize the difference in the dispensations. And then because of persecution and the Dark Ages, the development of the dispensational truth was stunted, just like everything else. That doesn't mean it was invented during the Reformation. It just means that because of the Reformation, people stopped being burned at the stake by the Pope for believing the Bible. So they can sit down and study it.
Yeah.
That's all that happened. And we have messages on that and everything good. Another fable, the church is Israel. Fable.
Amen.
The church is the church. Israel is Israel. The church is not Israel. The Israel is not the church.
Amen.
And they both have a future in God's plan. And you can't take one away and put the other one is, real quick, we're in the tribulation now. Again, the YouTubers are the greatest source. They're teaching that the seals are already being broken and that we're already, and it's nonsense.
Amen.
And we could go on and on and on. But he also mentions endless genealogies. And in Paul's day, the genealogies were a big deal among Jews. Why? Well, Albert Barnes said this, quote, "The Hebrews kept careful genealogical records, for this was necessary in order that the distinction of their tribes might be kept up. Of course, in the lapse of centuries, these tables would become very numerous, complicated, and extended, so that they might, without exaggeration, be called endless." Now, there's still now, I think the Mormons follow these genealogies and it's endless. One of their motivations is to baptize for the dead. But also they have other motivations for it. And the Jews are still trying to, through DNA evidence and genealogies, come up with the lineage for the priesthood and the possible Messiah. Because they rejected Jesus, they're still looking for their Messiah. And that's the kind of thing Paul was dealing with in his day, and it's still going on today. And so, and today, by the way, the Jew haters attempt to use genealogies to prove that the Jews are not Jews.
Yeah.
And there's whole 2-hour videos and documentaries and things out there trying to teach you that Jesus was not a Jew. They're using endless genealogies and such to try to prove that point. But the point of the local church is to provide biblical answers, not to minister questions. And that's in verse 4 again. Look there, it says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions. Modern charismatics, progressives, emergent and ecumenical apostates will admit to you, they don't come up here to teach and give you answers. They're just here to ask the questions. You'll hear them say that. That's the opposite of what the biblical ministry is supposed to be.
Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am? I know there are a lot of other people talking about who I am, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Messiah. It was downright dangerous for him to say it. And Jesus said, Peter, you did not get that answer from teachers or books. You got that from your experience with God. That means the whole of Christianity needs to turn around a minute. We have looked to this book to tell us the answer to that question, who do you say I am? And if I hear this scripture right, it says, nope, you won't find that in here.
Wow. I'm telling you, that's in these Protestant churches around here. That's what the pastors are teaching. They're trying to talk everybody out of believing any Bible, let alone a King James.
Wow.
Now, remembering what we read in 1 Peter 1, 19 to 21, then there is this, Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. You don't learn about Jesus by experiences and feelings. You learn about him in his book. Amen?
Amen.
John 5, 39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of
me.
Me.
Amen.
One last one is in Luke 24, 27. After he was resurrected, it said, in the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Amen.
He stated right there, he could do all kinds of miracles. You know, he could have caused all kinds of phenomena. What did he do? He opened the Bible. And that's how they were to know he was the Messiah, not by the miracles alone, but the miracles were confirming the prophecies, and that was where he was pointing people, was to the book.
Amen.
The God called pastor and teacher will, number one, tell you when there is a biblical answer, and number two, tell you when there is not a biblical answer.
Amen.
Where false teachers will won't tell you the biblical answer, but then a lot of times they'll pretend there is one and there isn't, and they'll make things up. Fables. And that results in, if you do that, if you tell people when there is a biblical answer and you tell them when there's not one, that's godly and fine. And that's how our verse closes. It says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. Biblical preaching produces faith in the hearer who will receive it. There's not very many people even willing to come out to church services or turn on the internet and listen to a real Bible teacher. But even when they do, a lot of times they're not listening. They're not receiving it. You have to do both. Show up and listen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of
God.
Amen. Romans 10, 17, and then 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which he heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God.
Amen.
Which effectually worketh also in you that believe it. You receive it as the word of God, you rightly divide it, you search the scriptures daily like the Bereans to see if what's being taught is true, and you receive what is true, it'll work in you.
Amen. Amen.
And then he closes by saying, so do.
Amen.
And so we will do. Amen?
Amen.
So we learn the word so you can minister the word.
Amen.
That's everybody in this room, not just pastors.
Amen.
Every believer. Amen. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your book. Thank you for your help. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who will help those who will receive the word, who will listen, receive it as God's word. The Holy Spirit will do the work. We thank you for that. Now, we pray, Lord, that everyone will take whatever it is they learn and apply it to their own lives and heart first. People don't want to hear talk. They want to see the walk and then hear the talk. Help us to walk it and then also talk it. And Lord, give us the clarity of mind, the opportunity, and the courage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's close with a song. You can stand, join us. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined. We'll look at the email, bbfohio@protonmail.com. And now let's say goodbye to the onliners on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.